So the continuation from last week, we discussed last week in the Maimah, what we tried to bring out with the Maimah was that the way you bring the Gula, you cannot bring the Gula. It's impossible. In Zman HaGolos, a Yid cannot bring the Gula. Just like, the example is, just like a Chassidus wants us to identify with the Elokus. So what Chassidus tells us is that we have a Nefesh HaLikis. Once Chassidus tells us we have a Nefesh HaLikis, Chassidus says, okay, now you have this Nefesh HaLikis. You can develop on it and you can bring it out in yourself, and you can't come to identify with Elokus. But if you wouldn't have this Nefesh Elokus, and a Nivre cannot connect to Elokus. The reason why we can connect to Elokus, the reason why Chassidus explains us how to connect to Elokus, by first, Chassidus first reveals us that we have a Nefesh Elokus. Okay, you have a Nefesh Elokus, but you haven't brought it out in yourself. Okay, now Chassidus is going to tell us how to bring this out in ourselves, and we're going to connect to Elokus. So the same thing to Gula. You cannot bring the Gula if you don't have the Gula already. It just doesn't work that way, okay? That's how it works. Now, this is very obvious. You know, this is right there in the Rambam. In Zman HaGolos, this is what the Rebbe was cooking in this Rambam of Yamid Melech. In Zman HaGolos, you cannot bring the Gula. And the Chassidus said that the Gula is coming from, I mean, this is the Chassidus, everyone knows, it's common knowledge. The Gula is coming Milmaila. This is Bechinas Matana. So the only way you can identify with the Gula is by realizing the emes, just like Jesus tells us, you have a nefesh HaLikis, even though we may show up on ourselves, or may not, we have it inside ourselves, the same thing. So the Kamda Rebbe tells us the way we come to bring the Gula, the Rebbe telling us, he explains to us that the Gula was actually always here. So this is the Nukuda is. The Nukuda is, by identifying with the Gula, Behoiva and Be'ova, identifying with the Gula in the present tense and in the past, that forms the Gula in the future. And if we want to just wait for the Gula to happen, so that waiting for it to happen, once upon a time before the avoid of identifying with the Gula had started, okay, the whole avoid was only to wait. But the Rebbe came and taught us that waiting means actually bringing it. That's what the Rebbe taught us, it's way in the Kutsichas, they like, I think whatever it is in Tazri Metzera, Chav Beis, I think they have a long sikha that Machak means actually bringing it, and then they brought out this whole idea of Lohovli of Meisim Mashiach, you have to bring it. So if you want to bring it, the only way to bring it is by identifying that it was always, and this is the Rebbe's shit and all the sikhas going back from all the years, the Rebbe explains the Gula is always there in the Golas. Okay, fine. So now just to bring out this, how this point, how the Rebbe sort of, in order to bring the Gula, explains to us.
Why is it important that what the past?
The answer is very simply, because if it's not, remember this, if it's not the past and it's not me, remember, I am we are what we experience. That's our history, right? How smart are we? We're so advanced today, because we have a whole history which brought us to this stage. If we are not going to see, we're not going to see it in the past, and it's not going to be part of, it's not going to be completely part of us, then we cannot bring it. It has to be inherently part of us from our essence, from all the way. I mean, then it's us. Once it's us, it's in our very essence. It's we, because we have to, like, see, this tells us about the neshama, then we can bring it out. If it's not in our past, then it's not completely me. That can be explained more and more, but this is an akuta. It has to be, So now, we just so bring several sikhs, whether we see how they saw how the sikhs go in Aleph and Beis, you see very clearly what the Rebbe does is, in other words, the Rebbe wants us now to bring the Gula, bring it. So what the Rebbe does is he actually changes the whole past. The Rebbe sort of, like this, you have this word, lahavdil, rewriting history, right? So you see this, the Rebbe can see how, this is, so some, so like the sikhs in Aleph and Nun Beis, you have it very clearly, like a whole sikha. The sikhs always start never brings out his point. He always starts up from the very beginning for the Parsha Tashvua, from all the way back. He starts from all the way back. He brings out the point. That is the point which is discussed over there. And then he says, then he goes and says, okay, from that point there, where in the Parsha Tashvua, wherever it is in the story, it developed over the years, and now we're at this stage now. So what the Rebbe does, he actually says that this is the way it was from the very, very beginning. This is the Mahalach, all the Sichas are non-Aleph and Beis. Now here there's some Sichas, it's like blatantly clear, it's like smacking your face. You see it, why? Because you're going to see how the structure of the Sichah goes in one structure, and all of a sudden, because of the bottom line, the Rebbe gives a turn, which is like not included in the whole Sichah. You'll see very clear. So we'll see very clear how it happens here. So one of the examples is what we discussed before the mind. We had the Sichah of Achri about Goyim, but just leave that for now. Now we'll take the Sichah of Pashas Kerech, which was yesterday's Sichah, which is a fascinating Sichah. And you'll see the Rebbe has a whole pilpul there, a massive pilpul. And the Rebbe goes a whole inyan, and when it comes to the conclusion, the Rebbe engages something which is not discussed in the whole Sichah. So let's go into it. So the Rebbe is talking about Gimel Tammuz. Let's not discuss Gimel Tammuz. Maybe we'll come back to it later. The Rebbe says, in Nes, there's two ways how a Nes can happen. A Nes can happen like the one way is like Moshe, like the Dam. The Makas Dam, the Rebbe explains, I think this is the Rebbe explains. Makas Dam, the Rebbe says that the water turned into blood, but it did, the water itself stayed water. It just, for us, it was blood. It changed, its chitzonius was blood, but it, in essence, it was water. It remained water, it just it didn't turn into blood. It was water, but the us, it served for the us, I mean for the mitzvah, it served as blood. And that is, the Rebbe explains, that is why we don't find by, but some of the markers you find that afterwards the Eibishter had to do, there had to be a certain act to undo the Makkah. And some Makkahs didn't need a Makkah to undo, an act to undo the Makkah. Makkah's Dam did not need an act to undo the Makkah. Why? Because it always remained water. It just sort of served as blood. The example to this would be, which is not a very good example, but for the sake of this discussion, it would be a good example. Like it says in Shari'ich the Munah, the Koyach, the wind was keeping the water straight. See, it was the wall, water stayed, we could say water, because the wind blew it and made it into a wall. There's only one problem with that, because there it's definitely not that way, because there it says clearly it turned into a wall. So, okay, but otherwise that would be the good example. The stone can't fly, your koyach is pushing the stone through up. So the same thing, the water stayed water. There's a koyach of Hashem, the Nes, which is an external koyach which is affecting it, or this would be the best words, an external koyach which is affecting it to be blood. Okay, the moment this koyach disappears, okay, it goes back to its previous
state. I think that was the whole, even though it wasn't necessarily literally that the wind was the thing, saying really the wind was, because the wind was a thing really keeping it there, Varaya, that when the wind stopped. It went back, but it also had that name where it like changed.
Yeah,
its
so it's not the
nature,
perfect,
but
it's not
like
perfect,
it's
not the perfect example.
Okay. It's just, but it, that the wind is just to bring out that point that, right, that it was an external koyach being
right,
like superimposed on it for that time. That was just that was really the tachlis of the
right for that in that aspect. Yeah,
just for the yeah, right.
The reason why I mentioned, because the footnotes of the Sikha, it brings it there, and it's not so, and it says that it's not completely with, it's not a perfect example.
Right.
It says that. Okay, fine. Now, so that is why Makas Dam, when Makas Dam was over, they didn't need any act to sort undo the Makas. When you had, but the other example that everybody brings, like say, is when when Moshe put his hand in his pocket and turned into Taras, in order to undo the Taras, he had to put his hand back. There needed to be an act to undo it. Why? Because his hand, he actually came a Metzera. It wasn't superimposed on him, in the initial moment when it came Taras, it was superimposed, but then it was actually formed to a leprosy, and it was on its own, it was a leprosy, so it needed an external. Okay. Now, so these are the two. Now, what happens here? These two miracles are discussed very much in the Rebbe's Sichas through the years. Here, the Rebbe puts in some words, which the Cheder, to find where the Rebbe says similar things, but it's not really, the Rebbe didn't really say what the Rebbe says here. Now this is what the Rebbe says, when the actual the substance actually changed. Let's say the Moshe's hand stood in Tzara's. Nevertheless, it was a ness. No question about it. Either way, either one of these two is a ness. Nevertheless, the Rebbe is telling us this way, when that hand actually turned Tzara's, that ness sort of had some relationship to Teva. Why? Because the hand actually came Tzara's. So the ness was for one moment, and then after that, it was a Teva. Now, just to put it into, remember, in going back in other sikhs, the Rebbe discusses these two different types of miracles. The Rebbe doesn't say this is more Teva or that is more Teva. No, it's just two types of miracles, yeah? And on the contrary, you see sometimes the Rebbe will say this is more astounding or that is where the different ways of different angles, which would be the greater ness. So here the Rebbe is telling us this has a more characteristic, has some Teva. Achizah in Teva, why? Because it somehow has some particle of Teva, because the actually hand changed into leprosy. From that, so when it changed, it was for its Teva was to be leprosy. So why am I bringing this out? What the Rebbe is doing is, what is he going to do now? He's taking a whole series of Nisim, and instead of taking it the way we always understand it, as being a Ness, no, a Ness is there are certain nisim which are lubashim teva. Okay, we know about that. Purim is a nesim lubashim teva. Chanukah, the Mechom of Chanukah is also a nesim lubashim teva. Right? Fine. Very good. So these we know are nesim lubashim teva. Lubashim lubashim teva. Here the Rebbe is taking nisim which are like outright super miracles. There's no teva here. Here the Rebbe is nevertheless telling you, no. The Rebbe is going to find in each one of these nisim an aspect of teva, and therefore the Rebbe is going to tell us that every nes has in it teva, and this is what the Rebbe is doing here. So now, what do we, another example? Now, this example is not brought into the sikha. Just mention it to you right away. There's a sikha, but the Rebbe does the same thing. Neir Chanukah, the candle burning for 8 days, right? This is one of the prime examples the Rebbe uses. That was a complete ness. There's many nesses missing which have variations. The Rebbe has explained this, breaks it down in many places. That some nisim have some teva, some nisim have more teva, less teva. What is the super miracle which has no teva at all? Neir Chanukah, burning 8 days, is no teva. Yeah. So Rebbe using the different, whatever. This is an example of a pureness, right? Pureness. Kriyas Yam is a pureness. This is also pureness. Okay. Comes Sichot of Shinun, the Rebbe says no. Neir Chanukah also had some teva in it. And the Rebbe goes and explains it. I don't remember what explanation it is. So the same thing the Rebbe is doing over here. He's taking Nisim, which are clearly the way it's described in Chassidus as outright Nisim. Here the Rebbe is telling us, no, it has some aspect of Nisim. So what did the Rebbe do?
Teva.
Some aspect of Teva. So what are the examples the Rebbe tells us? The Rebbe tells us, well, one example is the stick, iron stick which grew overnight. So the Rebbe says the fact it took a whole night to grow shows it had some relationship to Teva. Then, but this is like the best example. It's a very, very amazing example. The Rebbe says the ness of Gimel Tammuz itself. What's the ness of Gimel Tammuz itself? Shemesh begiven doy. Shemesh begiven doy. What's Shemesh begiven doy? That Yeshua stopped the sun. He was fighting voices. Stop the sun, right? Right, so the Rebbe, so this is how it goes. The Rebbe says, now this you have to listen to, you have to hear this amazing, like, this type of scenario the Rebbe is creating over here, which is like unbelievable. The Rebbe says, how did this ness of Shemesh Begiven Doin happen? She says, there's two ways of saying it. You may say one way that only the sun stopped, and nothing else stopped. And the whole solar system continued revolving around the world as before. Okay. That's one way. The Rebbe says something wrong with that. What's wrong with that? If you say that only the sun stopped and not the whole world, not the whole universe, not the whole solar system, you're breaking the solar system, right? Because the sun stopped and the rest of the solar system is functioning. You're actually disrupting the whole sequence of the solar system. So therefore, the Rebbe said the conclusion, the Rebbe Sicha, following the thinking that every ness, the preferred ness would always be, even if it's an absolute ness, would always be to have some relationship with Teva. The Rebbe said the conclusion is probably the whole solar system stopped. Now this brings out very clearly what the Rebbe is doing over here. Remember, if you say the sun stopped, okay, it's a pure ness, no problem. If you say the whole solar system stopped, that's like mind-boggling.
It's actually not solar. It's all sphere. It's not only solar system. It's everything.
Reb David, yeah, you're actually right. Yeah, that's there in the city, in the brackets. In the bracket there. He brings it up from Chassidus. Okay, so Reb David knows he's into Chassidus. He brings it there in the brackets. Fine. But let's discuss on the Gashmi. I'm only to see what's going on in the Gashmi. But I'm Gashmi and... Some of us are Gashmi. So now, the episode, well, now look, can you understand these words? I mean, this is, it's mind boggling this. The Rebbe is telling us, look, either the sun would have stopped by itself. Okay, that breaks us, that Shiddatheva. Shiddatheva means when an S breaks the Teva. If the sun stops by itself, you're breaking the whole solar system. So the whole solar system stops. So now the sun, and the dysfunctioning of the sun and dysfunctioning of the whole system are at line with each other. So that is sort of so Rebbe has a teva, some teva to it. So what the Rebbe is doing, the point is, the Rebbe is, you're talking about a nes, which is, like the Rebbe says, brings over there, that it's the Rabbah, that said this is like what greater than all the nesim, says, this nes of Yeshua is greater than the nesim Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The sun is stuck in the sun. So here, what the Rebbe does, the Rebbe says, no, he stopped the whole solar system. And what he's, in other words, you're talking about absolute mind-bogglingness, which defies all logic. And the Rebbe says, but there was a logic here because the whole solar system stopped, which makes it even a more mind-boggling, you may say, make it even a bigger nest. But the fact that there was in coordination, the sun with the whole solar system, so the sun teva. So the kudde is, we see very clearly here, what the Rebbe is doing is, he's taking things, this is what we were discussing before, he's taking things which are always considered absolutism. And here the Rebbe is telling us there's this aspect of teva in it. Now, I'll give you repeat the example we said before, Neiras Hanukkah, the Rebbe many describes the many levels of nisim. Some nisim are more teva, some nisim are less teva, and the Rebbe breaks down the levels. What is the Rebbe's example for the perfect nest, which completely is a nest? What's the Rebbe's example? The Neir of Hanukkah. It burnt for 8 days. So the Sichon Tov Shinun, the Rebbe says, no, that holds a had a teva. I don't remember the explanation, but the Rebbe explains that there's also teva there, whatever it was of something teva. Here the Rebbe is doing the same thing. He's really taking things which, in other words, talking about absolute nisim, which are normally considered to be nisim, right? No, this is the way it's always considered. And the Rebbe is saying, no, there's teva there. Now, why is the Rebbe doing that, we're soon going to come to see. He's telling us, this is the point. The Rebbe is like highlighting, this we're going to see this and this sikh, and the Rebbe does this in other sikhs. The Rebbe is highlighting something, in the past, which we never gave any attention to it, to come to give attention to this teva, which is in that nest, is something we never gave attention to it. We always considered it a pure nest. Now the Rebbe is highlighting us, you should know this nest, which we always considered, and we always explained and described as being a pure nest. You should know there's also an aspect of teva there. Oh, when the Rebbe sort of changes our understanding of the past, is going to affect our thinking for the future. This is going back to what we discussed last week. How do you identify with Gula? Is by changing. You can't reach Gula by just connecting to Gula. The only way you can bring Gula is by changing your perception about the current and the past.
What does that
have to do with Gula? Now, let's go to the conclusion of the Rebbe. Here comes the conclusion of the Rebbe Sicha. The Rebbe says like this. Oh. The clue of the Rebbe Sikha is like this. The Rebbe says, Chosid went. So he talks about Gimel Tammuz. Then he goes and says, a Chosid growing. And the Rebbe says, a Yid has to know that the world goes along with him. In other words, we can take Mesiris Nefesh. This is what the point that I was bringing out. We can take Mesiris Nefesh. I'm going to Mesiris Nefesh. I have to do the Kavanah, the Ibishtah, whatever it is. Whatever, if I'm going on the Siddur, I have to do the Kavanah. I'm going on the Siddur Snefesh. Chazal Shalom, whatever. So that's together, Siddur Snefesh. Here the Rebbe says, based on the whole Mahalach HaMakshav, this whole thinking of the Sikha, that even a Ness includes the Teva. So now, if I'm going on the Siddur Snefesh, I'm going to carry out my Mesiris Nefesh according to Teva. Remember, because Nisim all incorporate in themselves Teva. So now what other example? Now this is a very good example. Why? You're talking about the Chosid walking in Russia. The known story about the Chosid walking in Russia. And he's going after Brenger, and the policeman asks him, whatever. He asks him
who's,
that.
So, who's walking?
Who's walking? So the Chosid says, Beatles walking. Okay. Now the Rebbe said this story many times. So now what we're talking about, the time in Russia, which is go and be Chutz Vitek, the policeman could lead you into big trouble. So here the Rebbe explains, this Chosid said it because this was the Matthias. He knew that Beatle. That's what he said. But then the Rebbe goes to explain, not only he said Beatle idiot, not only he answered Beatle, he told it to him in Russian. Why? Why did he tell him in Russian? So the Rebbe explained, because you have to be in the Teva. So here you're talking about something which is outdoing Teva. This Chosid is going a pure Mesiris Nefesh, right? L'cher, you could argue, better you shouldn't answer Russian. He may get himself bigger trouble. Anyways, but what, this is pure Mesiris Nefesh, because, you know, the Rebbe says, he did it, it was Machiz, it was Teva, he told it to him in Russian, okay? And the Rebbe's words there, is the Rebbe's words, a Chosid the way he should be. This is a Chosid. Now, why did the Rebbe bring the story of the Chosid? The Rebbe says that the Rebbe is telling us our void has to be the dog of Ness, right? And the Rebbe says, it's always that way. This is the whole thing. The Rebbe is telling us, this avoda we should be in a dark of Ness was always that way. What's a raya? Because this chosid in Russia, he said it in Russian. This is what he answered. That's number one. And not only his avoda was in a dark of Mesiris Nefesh, in a dark of Ness, he actually said it in Russian. That means he was doing it apitava also. So therefore, the Rebbe is telling us, so our avoda also has to be that way. But the Rebbe is telling us, when he's telling us how our avodah has to be, he's making it clear to us, we should realize this is a whole build-up of the Sikha. When you do your Mesiris Nefesh, on the Darg of Mesiris Nefesh, on the Darg of the Nest, you should also incorporate the Teva just like that Chosid did. Fine. Very good. This is what the Rebbe is telling us. Now comes the final hurrah for us. Here, here's the Rebbe says. Now, this is after you tell the story of the Chosid. It says, now people are going to ask, this is all true, but what can I do? How can I affect the whole world? How can I affect the whole world? The world, how are they going to understand now that I'm talking about Mashiach? How am I going to tell them the message of Mashiach? They don't understand, and how can I do it? So the Rebbe says, the world is shemfavtik. The world is ready. And if you will give this message over like the Chosid, and the world will accept it. Okay? It will accept it. This is the now. So now, here, so what's happened here? Now, we had a whole thing, a whole sikha, which is following one pattern. What's the whole sikha? It's following one pattern. The Rebbe is telling us, he took all Nisim, several Nisim, which are more or less all outright Nisim. Then he took a Nahog of a Chosid, which is also a Nahog of Lamayla and Tamidas, a pure Mesiris Nefesh, let's say. And he showed us each one of these had an element of Teva. Fine. Now the Rebbe comes and tells us, you know, you're going to ask how will the world go along with it. The world is already ready. That, l'cheire, so now the Rebbe is telling us a rob of pearl. The Rebbe, this is not related to anything before. He's telling us he's shifted to a different level. He's now said the world is already ready. How did that connect? Till now we're talking about things which are defying nature. And the Rebbe says there's always an element of a nature. Now they're telling us the world is already ready. So this is how it goes in the end of the Sikha. Now this is this. Now we've seen this in several examples. Now what's a mahalaf? The mahalaf is quite simple. What's happening is the Rebbe's telling us that today, once upon a time, the world and the Nes, and Teva and Nes were two opposites, right? Teva and Ness were two opposites. Teva and the world were two opposites. Teva and Ness were two opposites. It's, you know, the Kus and this world didn't go together, right? Not Begole, right? So what happens is, now the Rebbe is telling us, you should know, today the world goes along with Elikus. So now, we can think to ourselves, if the world goes along to Elikus, So therefore, what do I have to do? I can just go ahead and do Torah mitzvahs, and I go to do Torah mitzvahs, and the world will go along with me. So what the Rebbe does over here, what he does, let's use this word again, he rewrites everything we learned in the past, and he tells us, all of these nisim and all of these mesiras nefesh, which we saw in the past, which we may have considered that to be pure mesiras nefesh, pure nisim, you should know, they will always incorporate the Torah. Right? So the Rebbe is taking clear nisim, the whole solar system stuff, and he's telling us, no, that is actually an element of Teva. So he's taking nisim, and now he's putting that Teva into that nest. Okay? Fine. Wonderful. Now the Rebbe has put that element of Teva, the element of nest into Teva, and what did the Rebbe come down to the bottom line? That you have the Chosid, tells us this is the way Chassidim always were. Chassidim always were. This is the story of this chassid, the way the chassid should have been. Rebbe, the way the chassid should have been, a chassid who would conduct himself in the way he should have been. What was his conduct? When he saw the policeman, he told him, Bittel. He told Bittel, idiot, that it's Bittel going. Fine. And he told him in Russian, he has to explain him in Russian, he had to be a bechiz beteva. That is the way the chassid always was. Now comes to us. What comes to us? Here comes a bit of an issue. Who was the Rebbe explained this anhog about Nisim? He explained this anhog about the chosid. But the Rebbe himself said this was a chosid who learned chosidus. The Rebbe is now giving his message to the whole world, not only to chosidim. Chosidim know about the Ma'alim Tamadas, they know about Mitzvahs Nefesh. The regular Yid knows he has to keep Shulchan Aruch. So the Rebbe is speaking now to the regular Yid. The Rebbe is telling him, you should know this is the way the chosid always was. The chosid who conducted himself the way he should have been. This is the way he conducted himself. Okay, maybe I'm not such a big chassid. The Rebbe wants us to be like that chassid. And what about the whole world who haven't learned chassidus? They have to have this avoid of the chassid, the Rebbe is saying. Now, once upon a time, the chassid had to, he answered the Russian, the policeman. He answered that way, he was a chassid. Nowadays you take the same conduct. That time when he answered the chassid, the policeman that way, that was negating Teva. And normally if you would answer please in such a way, you'd get yourself into trouble. What happened to that chassid? The Rebbe doesn't tell us, because it's not important to him. But we, once upon a time, we would have said that to the policeman, we would have gotten ourselves into trouble. Now the Rebbe is telling us, now this chosid, this conduct of the chosid, everyone can take one. Because the world is not going to go against you. Just take your ness, use your teva, and your world will go along with you. So in order to bring out that we can conduct ourselves, does that make sense? Does that make sense? In other words, the Rebbe is telling us, this chosid conduct, this poor, put it away, this dirty shishi conduct is now shaykh to all of us. Why is this dirty shishi conduct shaykh to all of us? In the dirty shishi, for to have such a conduct, you had to be the super chosid. You had to be the masculine, able to learn the chosidus, etc., etc. Nowadays, the Rebbe is telling you, no, this chosid, this conduct of this chosid is shaykh for every single year. Why? Why is it shaykh for every single year? Because if you do it, the world is going to work along with you. So when the world is working, once upon a time, the world defied such nature, such conduct. The world defied it. It was a nest. Here the Rebbe shows us in that nest, this mysterious nefesh there was also an element of teva. Now, you adopt that, using also your teva dikah tools, just like the chosid did. But today you have the awareness that the world is going to work along with you. So now you're going to be working with the world and not only so this is basically, so what happens is, so when it comes to the Rebbe in order to bring out this conclusion, how we can conduct ourselves like this chassid, he sort of, now we all in, re-explains it from a new angle, everything of the past. How Ness always included Teva. Okay. Fine. Now, this may be Ness and Teva, which is not, okay. We'll take another example now. Take an example which may be more problematic according to halacha pashut. And the Rebbe does the same thing. The Rebbe wants to bring a new thought, how we should conduct ourselves out today. What he does is, he changes the whole understanding of the past. Now what is this thing? This is a pastor Rambam. Now the Rambam says that when is going to be the schar of when is going to be the schar of Olam Haba? When is going to be the schar of Teirim? It's just in Olam Haba, right? Right. That's when we're going to have the schar. Oh yeah. Okay. Now, when it comes to Yemaisa Mashiach, Rambam doesn't use the word schar when it comes to Yemaisa Mashiach. Let's not use that. But let's okay. But nevertheless, we can say many svarim. They say Yemaisa Mashiach. Rambam uses schar only for Olam Haba, the Olam HaNeshamos. Doesn't use it for Yemaisa Mashiach. But let's doesn't matter. A lot of svarim use schar for Yemaisa Mashiach also, right? So let's say schar also in Yemaisa Mashiach. Very good. Now, what is Managolos? What is our Vedas Managolos? The Rebbe explains, our Vedas Managolos is not considered Schar. Why did the Rambam not call it Schar? Very simply, because let's say you have a slave working for his master, right? When the slave is working for his master, and he sustains him, he gives him food, he gives him, he lets him live. Can that food be considered Schar? Reward? When you work a slave working for his master, and he's providing him with his food and his rations, he should be able to continue to work. That ration, is that schar or that part of the job, part of to sustain him for the job? It's not part, it's not a reward, right? It's not, okay. So now, the Rebbe explains, this is the Rebbe explaining what the Rambam's thinking, the thing that Rambam says, the Rambam explains the reason why Hashem gives us today, if we do mitzvahs, he gives us bracha, in order we should be able to do our avoda better, and we will do our avoda better, we'll eventually come to the schar of your Olam Haba, your Meisim Sheikh, whatever one you want, but it's not negay here. But the point is that now, what we're getting is not schar, it's just to sustain us. That's a simple pshat in Rambam, okay? That's why the Rambam does not refer to what it says in the Torah. All these things the Torah says, you do the Torah, well, the Torah says you will get this and this reward. The Rambam does not refer to it as schar. That's not schar. That is just, what do you, I don't know, it's, the word is, it's, it's whenever necessity to keep, stipends, to keep you alive. That's what it is, to keep you going. To doing it, that's it. It's not considered schar. Now here comes a chiddush of test. Here the Rebbe says a chiddush, which is clearly a chiddush. That's the whole build up of the sikha there. The Rebbe says, no, there's even schar, in Zmana, even now before Yemaisa Mashiach. Why? Why the schar now before Yemaisa Mashiach? So the Rebbe explains, because there's two categories. There's Eved, but in the Torah, there's something called B'yoyim Titzin Leischorim. When you pay a worker, you have to pay him on the day, right? So the Rebbe says, we're not only slaves, we're also workers of the Eibster, right? Why, what's the right we're workers? Because ultimately we're getting the schar. If we would just be slaves, we wouldn't be getting at the end schar at the end. No problem. So now, we're workers. According to the tailor, you have to pay the worker on the day. So when, even now in Golos, if we do something good, we have to be paid for it. So the Rebbe says, Mechadish, even though the Rambam says, in Zmana, from the Rambam it's understood, and Zmana Golos, there is no schar. It's like paying a servant, a slave. Nevertheless, the Rebbe said, this is also a category of schar. Which type of schar? That munach v'kubsa, I don't think it works here, because munach v'kubsa means it's up there, so it's not, you know, the Rebbe's talking about it has to be down here.
Schar mitzvah, that's the...
Now you're going to very abstract misogim, I don't know, absolutely, no, that is no. So there, no, and here the Rebbe is referring to the sustenance we're getting from the Eibish that includes also an aspect of b'yayim mitzvah mitzvah, but there, poshut. But that's what the Rebbe is saying. You know, the provisions the Eibish is giving us, whether it's in Elokus, with progress we're making our work, that's part of the game. Okay. Now, here in the Parshas Tetzaveh comes a new thing. Parshas Tetzaveh, the Rebbe says, an anaya vort. I'm just waiting for him to come back. Let's just wait. Let's take a... Fine. Now, here comes Parshas Tetzaveh. The Rebbe wants to bring, now you see, the Rebbe wants to bring something new. He's trying to re-get to something new. We're soon going to see. So what the Rebbe does exactly this, what we discussed now. He rewrites everything of the past, and in a phenomenal way. In what way? We know that in Zman HaGolos, we have this thing there's a okay. Teres of Siddes, Man of Golos, we know is Me'ein Teres of Mashiach. So the Rebbe always emphasizes Me'ein. It is only. We're carrying on from here. So now, we know Chassidus. We know we learned that Chassidus is Me'ein Teres of Mashiach. Me'ein. It's it's some semblance of Teres of Mashiach. Let's say, yeah. Me'ein Teres of Mashiach. The Rebbe didn't have the Chassidus. The Rebbe used to emphasize the word Me'ein. Don't think this is mamish. It's Me'ein. Later years, the Rebbe started emphasizing on the other direction, on the other extreme. But anyways, this is the Me'ein Teres of Mashiach. But that is all talking about Torah. In Zman, now, even in this Sicha, what we just now discussed, where the Rebbe says that there is Schar, even in Zman HaGolos, B'yoymei Titin L'Ischorei, which that is, Rebbe writes in the Sicha, Chiluch Haftes. Nevertheless, the Rebbe doesn't say this is not say that this is the Schar of Yomayis HaMashiach, of Olam Haba. No way. This is not the Schar of Yomayis HaMashiach. The real schar. Now we have some schar because of yitin leischare. The Rebbe doesn't connect this schar of today with that schar of then. Why? Because we all know this gula and golus are two separate, distinct realities, and you can't say gula is in zman golus. So you're going to say the hour what we have today that is this connected to that what we're going to have in laozet lobin elav hashvi. Or Noilam and Halba, etc., with sort of distorting the boundaries between Golos and Gula. So the Rebbe says, yes, there is some Schar, but Schar, which belongs to Zman HaGolos, and it's not really related to the true Schar, which the biggest Schar, which we're going to see in Yemesim Shiach, Noilam Haba, etc. Very good.
So is it contradiction with what Rambam says?
No, the Rebbe is highlighting an akuda which is not. The Rambam doesn't say it's not Schar. He just says you can understand the Pshat in the Rambam would be he doesn't consider it Schar. And the Rebbe explains, it's the Rebbe's explanation because it's like a slave. This is the Rebbe's explanation why the Rambam doesn't consider it to be Schar. What we're doing now, because it's just sustaining, like a slave. And the Rebbe there, that's Chiddush, Sichas Machadish, no, from a certain aspect, there is also the Yom Titan Leischara, which Raman doesn't discuss.
It's a regular worker, right?
Like an irregular worker. So there's some reward on the day, which Raman doesn't discuss. But the Rebbe is telling us, this is what the Rebbe tells us. Okay. Now.
Is it applied only for material, for Gashmir stuff?
Or so let's speak, no, you could say Ruchnis also. You could say Ruchnis, but let's stay on Gashmir. It's always better, because it makes it clear. When Gashmir, the Rebbe says it is. Now, this is the Chiddush of the Rebbe. Now, this Chiddush comes even bigger, and this Sikha Pachitates in an Aleph. What did the Rebbe do in Pachitates in an Aleph? The Rebbe says a new thing. The Rebbe says this term which we have on Chiddush, that it's Me'ein Teres of Mashiach. It's Me'ein Teres of Mashiach. This is a Chiddush of Chassidus. We say this is Me'ein Teres of Mashiach in Chassidus. Even though there's Golos and Gula, the big boundary between them, nevertheless, we say this is Me'ein Teres of Mashiach in Zman HaGolos. Here the Rebbe says, the Yom Titan Ischari, this Scha, is Me'ein, the Dugma on the Scha. Of Yom HaMashiach. So now the Rebbe is taking this concept we had discussed in the past as telling of the Schar in Zman HaGolos also, but Yom HaMashiach in Ischare. Now the Rebbe is telling us, no, it has a Mashiach to Gula, but I'm going to stop there.
Doesn't the Rebbe say about Likutei Sichas, about the Teres, what's that whole thing with the Likutei Sichas, Teres HaMashiach, it's like a Ha'ara, what is it?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, but there are... But remember, Nun Aleph Nun Beis, then a lot of this terminology started changing. Like we're going to see right now. But we're going to bring out why, how did it change? It changes by the Rebbe telling us it was always that way. That's how it changes. This is what So a lot of this changes. Yeah, sure. So now we have to hear what the Rebbe is saying. Now the Rebbe says, this is Me'ein the Dugma to the Schar of Yemayis HaMashiach. Now you have to remember, why this is so amazing. If you tell me we have now Torah Sachsid, it's a new Gilui, and this Torah is Me'ein Teres of HaMashiach, okay, we can swallow it, it's not a problem. When you're going to tell us that we went through a golus, which we had suffering, cheshach kofa mechupal, the Rebbe emphasizes again and again, such suffering and suffering and suffering. So not enough the Rebbe, we have this chiddush, so the Rebbe is telling us, you should know there's also b'yoymei titin l'ischarei. Here the Rebbe is telling us, in our gashmistic life, you're not talking about Torah anymore. Remember, that's important, you know, we're talking about gashmis. We're not talking about Torah, we're talking about gashmistic life of Yidin Esman HaGolos. The Rebbe is saying the gashmistic life of Yidin of Esman HaGolos has some capacity of being Me'ein B'dugma of Yomais HaMashiach. So the Rebbe is now shifting what we know usually would be only attributed to Torah. Now the Rebbe is shifting it to the gashmistic life.
It explains such tremendous financial success for the Jew.
I have no issue with that. It's not fine. I'm just trying to say how the Rebbe is sort of changing the terminology, moving. But it doesn't stop there. Then comes a new thing in that sefer itself. The Rebbe says there, goes to say, this is something which we repeated many, many, many times. This sefer, actually the first time when the Rebbe says, Gula in the present tense. We can say more or less. Like the first, in this sikha, the Rebbe says, the first time the Rebbe says Gula in the present tense, this sikha, we will get to very soon. How did the Rebbe do it? He says the Gula was here before the world was created, more or less. And these are the things. It was there from the very beginning. So now, what did the Rebbe do now? The Rebbe says that not only we me'ein the dugma, the schav Yomayis Mashiach started before the actual work started. These are the words I always repeat, that the Yomais Mashiach was here before the world was created. So these are the words that the Rebbe says it. Before our whole Avodah started, we already had the beginning of the Yomais Mashiach in the Schar. So what the Rebbe has done now, he's changed our whole thinking.
What's the point of that?
Oh, very good. But what the Rebbe has done, he's changed our whole perspective about the past. And what is the point of that? So the Rebbe says, so therefore, every Yid in this world, in Zman HaGolos, can identify with the Scha of not of Yemais Mashiach. The Rebbe said the Scha of Elef Hashvi. That's how we can identify. And therefore comes the conclusion of the Sikha, where the Rebbe says, that what the Rebbe said, in other words, the first half of the Sikha comes to the conclusion that, therefore, every Yid can identify with the Scha of Elef Hashvi. In his talking clearly in Gashmistic life. And then the Rebbe goes on to say, and that was always true. And now, because of all the developments which have happened over the years, now the Rebbe says our avod is actually to identify with that schar. So that's the Rebbe concludes. So how is the Rebbe bringing Yomais Mashiach into our lives today? How did he do it? He goes all the way back and changes it from the very beginning, right? Okay. So this we have two ways we see how it works. The Rebbe does it in the Sichah Parshas Korach by telling us Nisim always included the aspect of Teva. He wants us to us in this Tevedic world to start conducting ourselves in a Hanhoga B'la Ma'ilim at Teva. So how did he do it? By sort of changing the whole perspective of a Nes, our whole understanding about a Nes, how it relates to us. And then you have this Sichah about the Sichah. Now we'll do another Sichah about Sichah Vayera. We have 5 more minutes. We'll do the Sichah Vayera, yeah? One more Sichah. You ready for it? Okay, here you're talking about something else. Here we're talking about, this is a Sichah where the Rebbe says, the scholars of Mashiach, right? You have to be Gasmi Makabel. Always quoted Vayera, Toshin and Beis. The Rebbe says, we have the scholars here, not, just need to be Makabel. How did the Rebbe get to it? So how did it goes like this. The Rebbe in the Sichah, this is a Sichah of Chof Ches. Of Chof Cheshvan. But the Rebbe Chof Cheshvan, you know, the Rebbe discusses always the Sikha about the story of the Rebbe Rashab, that he cried, why don't I see Elokus? So you have over the years, the Rebbe always explains that this is the Chiddush of the Rebbe, it's the Mahalach of the Rebbe, that why were we told this story? Because today, every child can be affected to want to come to see Elokus. That's what how the Rebbe explains this Sikha. You must have heard it. Everyone heard it.
It's an old, very old Sikha, actually.
The Rebbe repeats it every time from a new angle. It's amazing. It's every child.
It's a good saying, probably.
No problem. Now, here in this Sikha, how did the Rebbe start the Sikha? Talent started every, he said, normally the Sikha goes like this. Every child should strive and want to see Elokus. Right? That's how it goes. Every Shaitan wants strive to want to see it, of course. And what will happen if you strive to want to see it, of course? You'll eventually come to see it. When? That's not, I don't know if it's written there in the Sikha, we have to check in the Sikha, I don't think it says when. You will eventually come to see it. But usually he says is, that is the Chiddush of the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab actually brought Elkus to people. In what way? In Chiddush, the Torah of Chiddush, he brought it. The Rebbe Rashab, he brought Elkus in his Chiddush, in Avon of HaSog, in a way that we could really, really chew it and you know, get it into our system. So that would be the Amshochas Elkus, which the Rebbe Rashab did. Okay. Here the Sikha starts out from the outset. From a different mahalach. This goes again, the same mahalach as everywhere. He, in other words, everyone wants to now bring up a point he Lachayr didn't bring up before. So how did he do it? It changes the story from the very beginning, Lachayr. What does that mean? It starts up the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk, the Rebbe Rashab was crying about it. It says in the pasuk, Vayera lov Hashem al Avram. Hashem revealed himself to Avram. So the Rebbe says, what do we get from that, from this story of the Rebbe Rashab, etc., etc.? The Reb Shem reveals himself to every single year.
Yeah.
So till now, the Rebbe told us that the point of the story is telling us that we should strive and yearn to Elikus. And we will eventually, will be the results. I don't even have to look at the different sikhs, what the Rebbe says.
Yeah.
Here, the Rebbe starts at the outset. Every year, Hashem shows himself to every year. Oh. Now comes the Rebbe says, here's a new language. This is a new language. The Reb Shem, so Hashem shows himself to me, so have I seen Elokus? Oh, so the Rebbe says, this is how it goes. Hashem reveals himself to everyone, but why was the Rebbe Rashab crying? If Hashem reveals himself to everyone, why was the Rebbe Rashab crying? Because he wanted to be bepoil, these are Rebbe's words, bepoil or begole mitzad makabel. So the Rebbe is putting out, number one, he's putting out a premise, making it flat, right out up front. Hashem reveals himself to everyone. Now, what the issue is, from Bepoel Begolim Mitzad, I'm not aware of it. So now we're talking about an awareness. Instead of saying, there's a reality that, you know, the reality this way, and I have to change the reality. No. The reality is Hashem reveals himself to everyone. But I'm not aware of it. Okay, so this is how the sikhit goes. So I'm not aware of it. So what is the lesson of the Rebbe Rashab? And the whole story is that if you will do whatever the Tzemach Tzedek says, that you will mal yourself, you go, you know, the answer of the Tzemach Tzedek at the age of 99, if you will do that, you will actually come and see the Pearl Mugoli, the Pearl, you'll see Elikus, not only, but also from your own accord, not only from the apes that should be showing you, you should see it in yourself also. You see Elikus.
So it's a shift from something that's happening to the future.
Lift to the shift. First of all, the Rebbe has changed now the whole past. He's telling us that we all have Elikus, and he's introducing new terminology. This new terminology is actually there in the Rebbe's Sichas Amorim elsewhere, but it's there. What he's saying, it's there. Hashem shows us, but we're not aware of it. Then comes the Rebbe says, after all these years, all our Veda was Tehim Chetrim, etc., 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 then the Rebbe comes to this very well-known quote, which everyone keeps on saying. All you have to do now is, you have to be makabel. Now, where did that word come in? The Rebbe in this sikha was talking about two angles. Hashem reveals himself to us, and we have to accomplish in ourselves to come and see this, what Hashem has revealed to us. Because we are bepoil of a goli, we don't see it. After going through the whole process, the Rebbe says, after all these years, the Chassidim, the Rebbeim brought it down, the Rebbe Shabbos, and Yasutim Chatmim, etc., etc. All that is left, so you have already the scholars of Mashiach. All you have to do is Makabel. The Rebbe didn't discuss the void of Makabel till now. He's discussing two angles that Hashem, he told us, introduced to us a new reality, let's say, that Hashem reveals himself to us, but we're not aware of it. What is the Makabel now? So there's a whole Sikha, and here at the very end, you have the word Makabel before. The Rebbe says that Hashem reveals himself to us, but we, the Makabel, we, the recipients, don't realize. And Bepoil Begoli, but the whole discussion of the Sikha, when he says the words Makabel, he's referring to us. We are the recipient. So Rebbe says, Bepoil Begoli, we don't realize. The Makabel doesn't realize. And therefore, our void is in order to come and see it, Bepoil Begoli. Then the Rebbe goes through the whole history and says that after all that void of the Yidden, all through all the years, and the void of the Rebbeim, the Rebbe comes to the final bottom line. He says that the Abish is the Mashiach is Biskalas. Then he says, you have to be Makabel. But till now he didn't discuss the void of Makabel. He discussed we have to sort of bring it bepoil of a goal. He didn't discuss the avodah of makabel. So here is a, and then the next paragraph is makabel. What does the Rebbe say makabel? Maybe he explains himself. Do you know what the next paragraph is? Achroza. Achroza. Evan McKean. Achroza means that, which basically leads up to the inyan of achroza of Yechiyah Melech. This is, that is Mayera. This is Sichah Mayera. Comes to tell the Rebbe says about being machlis Yechiyah Melech. So that this, the Rebbe says, achroza means to announce. To declare. So the two Rebbe says, Evan McKean, I could quote several psukim about achroza. So the whole of Voidi, which sort of comes out of the whole Sichah, is like achroza. And what the Rebbe, and he, so the Rebbe shifted. So now, what, 1 second. To explain this point of a Kabbal, we can't go into this. This sikha here, why, how it shifts over here, we can't go into it now. But, we'll come to that sikha maybe. But the point is, I just want to try and bring out to you, this is what we're learning in the minor, the only way you come to change the change, affect yourself to change the future is by changing your perception about the present and the past. And now this is how the system of all these sikhs works. So you have all these examples, all these sikhs, how the Rebbe is actually bringing a new concept. The Rebbe actually did it all the years. It's no question about it. But here, like, you have these sikhs, like, so clearly in one sikh, you see clearly how the Rebbe sort of changes everything of the past. And then it comes to the end, he gives you one leap forward and, based on this, what he changed in the past.
Now,
okay.
Crucial question.
Yeah.
How to get reveal it, whatever, reward.
You know what I'm saying? Let me get running through one more topic. This would be following also always Matan Teres, Mamayla Lamata. And the Rebbe brings out, this we discussed last week, and the Rebbe brings out Matan Teres, where was Atzmus in the Kabbalah vision? Atzmus is Matan Teres, Mefedish, Mamayla Lamata. Here the Rebbe brings out that there, Matan Teres, where was the Gila Atzmus was in the Kabbalah vision. So that's a bit hard, but that's not good. And then Kodak, the Rebbe does the same thing by Yitzis Mitzrayim. The Rebbe says, Yitzis Mitzrayim, where was, Yitzis Mitzrayim is also Mamay Lamata, Nigla Lema Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe says also that was Mitzad Tach. It's also in the Sikh of Kodak. See, the Rebbe is sort of changing, brings out his Nakuda everywhere. Yeah, what are you saying? Unless you want to get rid of the Rebbe, speak up to me, yeah?
Yes,
no, I can't say no problem.
You didn't say my opinion, right?
No, I